Welcome to the weekly radio ministry of Let the Bible Speak, an outreach of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The purpose of this program is to preach Christ in all His fullness. I am Pastor Ron Barnes of Heritage Free Presbyterian Church in Prince George. The church is located in the Heart Highlands across from the ski slope. I warmly welcome you to worship with us. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and afternoon service at 2:30 p.m. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the church office at 250-962-8232. Enjoy our opening hymn. Aren't you glad that salvation in Christ is like a rock? It's not like wind that comes and goes. It's not like fire that burns out. It's not like snow that melts away. Salvation in Jesus Christ is like a rock. A rock is usually thought of as dense, heavy, and solid. It's difficult to change the shape of a rock without destroying it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we read these words, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." The title of the message is "The Rock of Our Salvation, Jesus Christ." But before the message, enjoy another hymn.
The title of my message for today is The Rock of Salvation, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We read, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Aren't you glad that salvation in Christ is like a rock? It's not like wind that comes and goes. It's not like fire that burns out. It's not like snow that melts away. Salvation in Christ is like a rock. A rock is usually thought of as a dense, heavy, and solid material. It is difficult to change the shape of a rock without destroying it. Furthermore, isn't it encouraging from this text to learn that salvation is in a person, not in device or creed, not in good works, but in Jesus Christ. Christ is a rock that stands forever. In Christ, I have a perfect righteousness. In Him, I stand unfearing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the rock metaphor clearly symbolizes Jesus Christ. This picture of Christ as a rock is intimately woven by the Spirit throughout both the Old and New Testaments and makes for a very fascinating study. And without this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we would have no commentary on the passages in Exodus chapter 17 and in Numbers that record this event that Moses struck the rock and the water came out. Without this verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, we would never know that the rock symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament is a commentary on the Old Testament. Now, the rock in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, is the Greek word petra, and it refers to a massive rock, a large expanse of bedrock, or a great range of rock. When I thought of the word Petra, I thought of the Monarch Mountain of British Columbia, Mount Robson. And the first time I saw Mount Robson, what a majestic view, what an awesome display of God's creation. And this idea of Petra is of a huge rock, a colossal rock. In the Old Testament, David experienced God as a rock of salvation when he struggled with sin, evil, and trials in his life. We read in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, for from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." David knew the truth about himself. He knew he was a sinner. He knew firsthand about the evil that lives within every person's heart. Think of his sin with Bathsheba, adultery, murder, lies, cover-up. What great sins these were. Yet God forgave him. And no sin is so great that it is greater than God's capacity to forgive. No man can commit a sin so grievous that it puts him beyond God's grace and love if he repents of that sin. And when he sinned, when he fought the evil within, when he looked for forgiveness and grace, David turned to the rock of his salvation, the Lord Jehovah. Why? Because God is a rock of salvation. And in Him, David found forgiveness. He found the redemption that he needed. David knew his salvation was a sure thing. There were no buts, ifs, or maybes about it. And how many times have we experienced the rock of salvation in this past year, 2011, in our own lives? How many times did we experience God as a rock of salvation who has forgiven us of our sins? To answer this, think about the sins of the past year. How many sins do you think you committed during the past year? We can't forget sin includes wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong deeds. Sin includes any time we fail to do good. Sin includes any time we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. And sin includes any time we fail to make and keep Christ first in our lives. Do you think we sin maybe 20 times a day, 50 times a day? How many times did we sin in 2011? And yet we know that no matter how many times we sin against God, He will continue to be a rock of salvation for us. We have the promise in the Bible that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we sin, we have to keep going back to God to confess our sins, to repent of our sins. And we have the confidence that when we do, Christ will forgive us. Christ will wash us away our sins because He's the rock of our salvation. And in addition to forgiving us of our sins, Christ is our rock in the trials we experience in this life. Some of us went through very deep and cold waters in 2011. And how were we able, and how are we able, and how will we be able to get through these immense trials? We must rely upon the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will help us in our trials. And trials and suffering afford the Lord the opportunity to work grace in our lives. We read in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The prophet Isaiah assures us that when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Isaiah 43, verse 2. God is a rock of salvation for His people. How is Christ a rock of salvation? Well, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4 answers that question. The rock of salvation is the source of spiritual water for the thirsty soul. We read, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The idea here is essentially the same as in the previous verse, that the Israelites had been highly favored of God and enjoyed tokens of the Lord's care and presence. Read in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now the Lord demonstrated His grace to His people in the miraculous supply of water in the desert, therefore showing that they were under His divine protection, that they were objects of His divine favor. Albert Barnes writes in his commentary, there could be no doubt that by spiritual drink, here the apostle refers to the water that was made to gush from the rock that was smitten by Moses. Why this is called spiritual has been a subject on which there has been much difference of opinion. It cannot be because there was anything peculiar in the nature of their water, for it was evidently real water fitted to allay their thirst. And there's no evidence, as many have supposed, that there was a reference in this to the drink used in the Lord's Supper. But it must mean that it was bestowed in a miraculous and supernatural manner. And the word spiritual must be used in the sense of supernatural, or that which is immediately given by God. And when you consider the miracle that the Lord had done in the wilderness by having this rock gush forth water, it was a miracle. Rocks don't gush forth water. When you look at a composition of a rock, there's no source of water in a rock. There wasn't a hidden water supply under the rock or in back of the rock or over the rock that was flowing into it. The water was flowing from the rock. The rock was the source of the water. Now we may observe and say, impossible, unnatural, unconceivable, unfathomable. Yes, from a human perspective. But Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And the miracle of the rock in the wilderness depicts the miracle of the new birth and salvation. Just like it was impossible for the rock to produce water on its own, so too it is equally impossible for sinners to produce new life flowing with goodness and obedience to God unless regeneration first takes place in the soul. And the moment a sinner exercises saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they who were once dead in trespasses and sins are made alive by the power of God. Therefore, salvation is a miracle in the hearts of sinners that is done by God alone. Without that miracle, Sinners cannot know God. Without that miracle, sinners cannot have a relationship with God. God must come and touch the sinner and do the work in the sinner's heart and regenerate them. And it's a miracle each time a sinner is saved and born again by the power of God. And this reinforces this metaphor of the rock, that salvation is of the Lord. It's not the work of man. It's not the wisdom of man, not the cleverness of man, but it's the power of God that saves sinners. And it's the power of God that takes that which is naturally against God and brings that person to God. Just like it was unnatural for the rock to produce water in and of itself, apart from the miracle of God, so too it's impossible for a sinner to produce any good works in and of himself without God working a miracle in his heart, working a miracle in his life. And what we need today, brothers and sisters, what we need today, we need God to touch sinners. And from that touch of God, life will flow through from them. Life will be given to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need the Lord to move. And He's a rock of salvation to those who need to be saved, who desire to be saved, who thirst and desire after God. And yet, the thirsting and the desiring for God is unnatural in the sinner. Even that is a miracle that has to take place in the heart of sinners. You have a desire for God this day. It's a miracle that you have that desire. Because when you look at your nature, a sinner has no desire for God. A sinner is dead. A sinner has no inkling to the things of God. And yet, when sinners have a desire for the Lord, when they seek the Lord, that's a miracle of God touching their hearts and changing their natures and their desires. And we see here that when God touched that rock, it did something that was so unnatural. Water flowed from it. And when God touches the heart of a sinner, it's supernatural. Because without that miracle, without the Lord intervening and doing that work of grace in the heart, there can be no life flowing from the sinner. There could be no desire for God. There could be no want for God. And as that miracle takes place in the heart of the sinner, and that sinner desires Christ and desires salvation, not only is that the miracle too, but in addition, the miracle of the water that God gives is the miracle as well. So that the desire is a miracle, and the provision and the source is a miracle given to the sinner by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text says that they all drank because they all thirsted for that water. Do you thirst for Christ today, my friend? Do you desire to know Him and to be forgiven of your sins in and through the Lord Jesus Christ? The natural thing for the sinner is, no, I don't need the Lord. I don't need to be forgiven. I'm not too bad of a person. I'm actually pretty good if you ask me. And you know what? I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to try to be the best person I can. And at the end of the day, that'll get me an audience with the Lord. And that hopefully that will be acceptable. It won't be, my friend. You need a work done in your heart. And you can't do it. You have to call upon the name of the Lord to do that work that you can't do. Because it's a supernatural work. It's a touch of God that you need today, sinner. Not only is it for the sinner, but it's for the saint too. We need God to touch our hearts and renew us and revive us in the things of God. I don't know about you, but in my own experience, I can become so cold and dry and feel distant from the Lord. And what is it that brings me back to the Lord? It's God touching me. It's God speaking to me. It's God coming to me in power and opening my heart to the truth of the gospel. And when I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, the heart that is now regenerate wants more of the goodness of God. We want to taste more of God. We want to have more of Christ. Isn't that the natural desire and outflowing of the heart of the true believer? We've tasted and seen that the Lord is God, but that's just the beginning. That's just what our appetite. We need to taste more of the Lord. More of Christ. A.W. Tozer called thirsting for Christ a piercing sweetness only to leave you with a divine discontent for more? Tozer continues, "O God, I've tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I'm painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirsty still." And when we talk about the rock of salvation, Jesus Christ, He is the source of spiritual water. He is the source of sustenance for the believer. Salvation for the sinner, sustenance for the believer. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When this rock gushed forth water, it was not just a little water supply. It wasn't just a trickle. It wasn't just a drop. It gushed. It was plenty for over 2 million people to drink and to keep alive. And when we come to Christ, Christ just doesn't drip water to us. He gushes forth in abundance His grace and His mercy and His love, because He's the source of spiritual water. He's the rock of salvation. And have you tasted and seen this abundance that's in Christ? Has your soul been filled? Has it been quenched with this water? Or have you gone into the world and you've tried to find your satisfaction in the world only to just feel a few miserly, miserable drops of water coming to you, and you go to drink it, it doesn't satisfy you, it just mocks you and torments you. But Christ, He has a rock that flows with water that satisfies the soul. Can you see some needy sinner right now in your mind's eye in the world, trying to satisfy their soul, going through these sources for satisfaction, and just these just terrible, miserly drops of water? I can see them in my mind. I can see my family members. I can see my friends. That's where they've gone. They've gone to the source of just drops. We go to the source of Jesus Christ, where it gushes, where there's plenty, not just for us, but for all who come in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rock of salvation. That's Christ. That's the one who we worship and adore this morning. Do you thirst for Him who shed His blood for sinners on the cross? Is He who you long for in your soul? Is your soul dry and thirsty? Then go to the rock of salvation. Go to Jesus Christ, who will give to you abundantly from the source of spiritual water. The rock of salvation, Jesus Christ, is the source of spiritual water for the dry and thirsty soul. Secondly, the rock of salvation is the constant supply of provision for His people. Not only is He the source, but He's the constant supply of provision for His people. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." Now, doesn't it strike you as being strange that the text appears to say that the rock followed them? Now, how could the rock follow them? Paul wants the readers to come to learn and come to realize that it was Christ who followed them into the wilderness. Christ was the source of their salvation. Christ was the source of their life. But Christ was the one that also followed them as they went into the wilderness and as they marched forward. And what a wonderful picture this is for us, to point us to Christ being the constant supply that we have in our lives. He meets that need. He follows us. He provides for our needs. What a comfort it is for the child of God that we're not left alone in the wilderness in this world. We're not left to ourselves, but that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, who follows us.
Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Pastor Ron Barnes of Heritage Free Presbyterian Church in Prince George, The church is located in the Hart Highlands across from the ski slope. I warmly welcome you to worship with us. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and afternoon service at 2:30 p.m. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the church office at 250-962-8232. May the Lord richly bless you.